All right, we've been talking about some Christian character traits for the past few weeks, so let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. There's a number of verses I wanted to read. I had a couple more here that I looked up. I may just read them. I didn't write them down, but I got them here. All right. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Yes, it is. I want to talk about integrity tonight. Let me read you another verse. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And that's the truth. Integrity. Let me see here. There's some more verses here I wanted to read. 20 verses. The integrity. Let me give you the verse. It's Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Talking about David in Psalm 78, verse 72, it says, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Psalm 41:12, as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. Again in Psalm 26, verse 1 and 11. Psalm 26, 1 says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Verse 11. But as for me, I will walk. I have walked. I will walk, you see, in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Oh, let me see. Let me read you one more verse. Psalm 25, verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. There's a lot more verses to talk about this subject, but it's in the Bible a lot. It's one of the most important character qualities. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to have integrity. The just man walketh in his integrity. It's moral soundness. It's not just your word, but your word has a lot to do with it. Keeping your word. It's moral soundness. It's being real. It means completeness. It means uprightness. And all of that in simplicity. It's not a complicated thing, and it's not shuffling things around all the time. Steady, complete, real, true, right. That's what integrity is. You know, we talk about it, and I say it often, but we refer to people as real. Mm-hmm. They're real. In other words, what you see is what they really are. They don't put on. They don't have a bunch of different masks they wear for different situations and different crowds and different environments. They're the same, no matter where they're at. That's integrity. That means you're truthful. That what you are is what you project. You're not trying to cover something up. You have no integrity if you're hiding, covering something up, pretending to be somebody or something that you're not. It means purity. It means genuine, unadulterated. What you see is what you get. No guile. You talked about that a little bit this morning, Seth, about lying, how that fear will make you a liar. Well, guile is really lying. It's just not outright telling a bald-faced lie. It's making people believe or leading people to believe something that's not just exactly right in order to make you look better or to make somebody else look worse or something like that. You know, no guile, no deceit, no hypocrisy, no two-facedness. That's integrity. A person that is two-faced has no integrity. Integrity is being a person of your word. I know that it's a saying, it's kind of fading into the past. Even the saying is, but a man's word is his bond. We heard that's the way it was in past generations. No need for a contract. If somebody gave you their word, that was a bond. Yes, sir. They took it serious. Even people that weren't Christians, even people that weren't moral every way, their word was so important that they counted it, they highly esteemed it. They counted that as their integrity. Yes. Other people could depend on them if they said they would do something, if they said they would give something, if they said they would be somewhere, they would do it. Yes, no matter what. That come from the Bible, by the way. You know, as with other things, we can understand integrity a little better if we compare it to its opposite. You know, I mean, you just understand north. If you understand north, you understand south. If you understand east, you understand west. If you understand cold, you understand hot. There's two points that we reckon from, and everything's in opposites like this. You know what the opposite of integrity is? Perverseness. Perverseness. And that means to turn from truth. To turn from its proper purpose. To distort from its true use or end. Pervert. We used to call people perverts. Yep. Now we call them, you don't even call them gay anymore. You know, you can't call them nothing. It's normal. No, it's not normal. It's perversion. Yes. But to pervert by reason, to pervert reason by misdirecting it is what we've been preaching a little bit on Wednesdays about your mind and the spirits and everything, and to how I talked last Wednesday night about your mind and how your reasoning can be messed up and you can have these bad habits of thinking and reasoning and you just default to that habitually. That's what gets you in big trouble and keeps you from the truth. And that's what, and it's the opposite of integrity is when you start thinking wrong. You know, to have integrity, you have to think right also.
Yes, sir.
You can't trust people who don't think right. You can't put responsibility into the hands of somebody whose thinking is erratic and undependable and unpredictable. That's why we train people to do certain jobs and bear certain responsibilities. And they must be dependable. They must be predictable. They must be trained into the habit not of just doing, but of thinking also.
Yes, that's right.
You know, we've got there's a lot of things happen. Like here a few years ago, they had a big disaster on a oil platform down the Gulf of Mexico, and it turned out the jokers were smoking weed and looking at pornography, and somebody wasn't paying attention to their duty. They was at their post, and the whole thing sung, and a bunch of people got killed, and it was a big mess, and an oil spill, and everything else. You got to have integrity. You know, the leaders of our country ought to have integrity. I mean, that's just something that is necessary.
Yes.
Or we are in big trouble.
Yeah.
If you get on an airplane and you're going to fly 37,000 feet in the air, that pilot better have some integrity.
Mm-hmm.
He better be real. He better know what he's doing. He better realize his responsibility and keep his mind focused.
Yep.
He better not be messing around and walking all over the plane and doing things he shouldn't be doing. It's to pervert laws by misinterpreting and misapplying them. You reckon we're lacking integrity? To pervert justice. You reckon we're lacking integrity in the courts among these judges? To pervert the meaning of an author. To take something that somebody wrote and twist it into something to tell it to mean something that he didn't mean for it to mean. To pervert nature. These are all things that are the opposite of integrity. To pervert truth. So to have integrity is to stay the same. To have integrity is to be grounded in what is true and righteous and fact and stay there. You know, it's not an evolution into better understanding. That's not how it happens. You get the truth. You buy the truth and you sell it not. To have integrity means you maintain it. You stay there. To turn from the right or to corrupt, that's the opposite of integrity. So integrity then is faithfulness to truth and righteousness. That's what it is. It's really simple. I mean, I'm saying a lot of stuff here, but it's really not, I'm not very straying out very far at all. Integrity is just plain old real.
Right.
Staying with the truth. Knowing the truth, living the truth, staying with it, not changing. Faithfulness, that's what it is. Obviously, it's something that's greatly lacking now in every part of our world. Politics. How many of these low-down jokers do you think up there in Washington, D.C., have any integrity? A dollar bill will change their mind about anything. A threat to reveal their perverse lifestyle will change them. They live by polls. They got their finger in the air all the time, see which way the wind's blowing, and that's what they believe, and that's what they're going to do. There ain't no integrity there. We need leaders that have integrity in the government, in the churches. We need leaders in the homes that have integrity. A person with integrity will do what is right, regardless of the cost to himself. He is not going to, he's just not going to compromise because he has some integrity. I've read a few things lately, and that's one of the things I read is this man said he still had his integrity and he didn't mean to give that up. It's the most valuable asset in a person's life. It's Proverbs 11 and verse 3. The integrity of the upright, I've already read this, shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. A person with integrity will be a real and genuine person with others. He won't be a chameleon. He means what he says, and he says what he means. And nobody has to read between the lines or decipher his riddles.
Yes.
Integrity.
Yes.
It is plain spoken. Say it like it is. Say what you really believe. And say it plain. And don't crawfish and apologize if somebody objects or disagrees with you.
Amen.
You better just make sure you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't just your opinion.
Yeah.
Or that you're not on shaky ground. It's real good. It's real. You can have real confidence when you are standing on solid ground. And you're right, according to the Word of God. You do not have to apologize. You do not have to back up. You do not have to fear their faces.
That's right.
You can say, thus saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not me. If I'm giving my opinion, I'll say so.
Yep.
But if I'm saying what God said, there ain't no crawfishing about it. Yes. So integrity is a most valuable asset to our life and to our testimony. Our testimony depends upon our integrity. It'll not be regarded lightly or forgotten in the heat of passion or the pain of suffering. Integrity, you just ain't going to forget. Now, Job, was you talking about Job this morning or the other day, last week? It's mentioned a few times in the book of Job. Job chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, as thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now this is in Job chapter 2, see? Job still got his integrity. He's lost everything except his wife. And he still got his integrity. He ain't budged. A person who has integrity will strive to keep it in spite of whatever may fall his way or his lot. See, Job was in a bad place. I mean, he was in a place where few people had found themselves, where they lost everything in one day. All, everything they had, all their family, all their servants, everything gone. And he still had his integrity. God said so. And then in Job chapter 27, verse 2 through 6, says, God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness. We're in chapter 27. We're way on over there after being browbeat and cursed and everything else and condemned by these friends. And he says, you know, as God liveth, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness. I believe he still got his integrity. Nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. He's talking to these friends of his. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. There you go. Now there's your good goal to set. My heart will not reproach me as long as I live. You ought to make some determinations like that. Did you ever read Jonathan Edwards' resolutions that he wrote as a young man? You ought to read them. He made some of the same kind of resolutions. I will not do this. I will do this. He's aware that others are watching for him to give up. In Job chapter 2, verse 9, I'm sorry. Then said his wife unto him. Y'all know what she said? Doest thou still retain thine integrity? What do you say now, Mr. Righteous? Yeah. Just look what your religion's got you into now. You still going to spout that nonsense off to me? His wife. I mean, she ought to have been she was the only human on this earth left that he should have backed him and stood with him and comforted him and said, hang in there, dear. God's got this and God knows what he's doing and we'll see in due time. No, what she had to say was, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Ain't that awful? Yeah, it is. Job would have deserved a better wife than that. Honestly, that's my opinion of the deal. Should have had a better wife than that. Sorry thing. The others are watching it's a great motivation to us to keep our integrity, because we know how much is at stake if we forfeit it. If we just compromise. If we just back off and say, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not that way. I don't know. If we start giving up. Oh, and I'm talking about on truths that matter. You know how much is at stake? Well, I've lived long enough to see whole families just go total down the drain because somebody lost their integrity. Yep. Sure have. You can trace it right back to that. When mama or daddy or both of them just gave it up. They compromised. Wasn't worth the fight. Wasn't worth being different. They just went with the way the wind was blowing the hardest. It is too hard to swim upstream when everybody else is going the other way. And you lose the whole battle. Especially, you know, all that's at stake, especially his children and grandchildren and friends and others who put their confidence in him. You know, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is like a troubled fountain. Yeah, it's just a bad thing. It's like poison. It just ruins. There's a lot of collateral damage. It ain't just him. It ain't just you. When you make up your mind to compromise and give up ground to the devil, then there's going to be a lot more damage and a lot more casualties than you. So, integrity is the essence of having a good name. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. That's what we were talking about this afternoon there. Let me tell you something, to have a good name, if it's better than riches and silver and all of that, it's better than friends too.
You're right.
You need a good name, a good reputation. And what does a good name consist of? You're real.
That's right.
You'll do what's right.
Yep.
You'll be honest. You'll tell the truth. You'll take the right side every time.
Yep.
You're not going to compromise it because it's your little darling.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Integrity.
Yeah.
People are looking and they're looking for it. And they're watching for it. And if they think you have it, they're watching you closer to just see what you will do. And when it cuts real close to you. And when it's really going to cost you. And see what you do. It's his reputation. If a person has a good name, it's his reputation. That integrity is his reputation. What others esteem him to be. Huh. Without integrity, a person's name is not good. You can't have a good name if you don't have integrity.
Exactly right.
Everybody thinks you're untrustworthy at the best, unreliable, undependable, unpredictable, or they think you're just a flat liar and a selfish person who'll do anything that will benefit you. That's what everybody thinks. You can't have a good name unless you have a name for having integrity. Used to be that nobody could be a judge if they didn't have integrity. It used to be nobody could be a school teacher if they didn't have integrity. Yeah. Yes, sir. I mean, any place of importance, of responsibility, leadership that mattered, and it always does, people weren't qualified if they didn't have integrity. You know, and when they take their oath of office, they swear on a Bible, used to be. Now they can use a comic book if they want to, I guess. But they swear to, you know, to be truthful and to support the Constitution or whatever it is, whatever, you know, state or whatever it is. They promised and swore and vowed before people with their hand on a Bible. To have integrity in this job they're taking, in this place, this position they're taking. So, sooner or later in life, everybody will find out how important it is to have a good name.
Yep, that's right.
Better believe it. You know, when your car breaks down and you got no way to go, and you got to go buy one, and you see it, and you try to borrow money, then you see. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. There's other places where it shows up too. Like when you go to witness to somebody or try to get them to come to church, I mean, it matters about your integrity. If you're trustworthy, if you really tell the truth all the time, I mean, and if you tell it just like it is, and you don't crawfish, and you don't exaggerate and embellish things, and don't you hate it when people do that? Don't you hate it when you just can't tell really what? When you know people that you have to take what they say with a grain of salt. See, that's not integrity. There's very few people that I really know like that. Now I'm telling you. That I could just depend completely on what they said as absolute truth. Very few people. I mean, I know some people that I esteem highly, but I can't honestly say that I'd believe everything they said, just how they told me. I've always got to adjust it with, you know, realizing their prejudices, realizing their opinions about things. Shouldn't be that way. No matter what we think, what we feel, who we're associated with, to have integrity, you've got to be thoroughly real and consistent in what you say. Truthful. Yes. Completely truthful. Isn't it aggravating to try to get the truth out of people nowadays? Starts when they're little bitty kids. I mean, when you got a ruckus going on, Gary, at the house, and you try to find out, now they're talking, see? Now you got to try to find out what happened. You didn't see it. It's near impossible, ain't it? It's that way at work. It's that way everything you do. It's that way with customers at work. They bring their car in, and they ain't going to tell you what they did to it. It just happened. People do it with their computers. They do it with their phones. They do it with everything. Oh, what happened to this thing? They spilled coffee down the on their computer and it shorted out and blew up and they don't know what happened to it. They ain't going to tell you that. No, they ain't going to tell you the truth. So much of that. We need other people and their help or input into our lives. And if we have soiled our reputation by forfeiting our integrity, we'll find it's hard to get the help we need from others. You understand what I'm saying by that? We all interact and buy and sell, and we go and come and we do things, and we have to interact with other people. And you need a good name so other people can trust you. And in a good name, you have to have it to have integrity. And when it gets, if you don't have it, people are going to avoid you. And people ain't going to want to do business with you. And people ain't going to want to have anything to do with you except just wave at you on the highway or something.
Yep.
But they won't want to get involved with you in any way,
yep.
No matter what. And there's times in your life when you're going to need other people. You're going to need a hand. You're going to need a shoulder. You're going to need somebody. And so, you know, if you have integrity, you can count on the fact that there'll be somebody there.
Yes.
If you live your life without it, you can count on the fact that you're going to find yourself alone.
Sure.
When you find that you have a need. Now, I ain't going to be long. Real integrity must be based upon keeping the commandments of God. There's no such thing really as integrity, real integrity, without God.
That's right.
Now, people talk about people may not be saved and they may not regard God, but boy, they're good people and they're honest and they, you know. Well, that may have been true in some past generations because of the salt that was in the earth then, but right. I'm telling you right now, people that don't regard God now, they'll do anything in the world to you. Now, you're just going to have to find one and show me somebody that has integrity but no God.
Right.
They hate God, but they have integrity toward other men? Nah.
No.
Now, if they hate God, they hate everybody else too.
That's right.
And they'll use everybody else to whatever extent they need to. And they'll say what they got to say, whatever it takes. Just to get what they want and to accomplish whatever they're wanting to do. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Here's what it says there. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked. It's God talking to Solomon. In the integrity, in integrity of heart and in uprightness. To do according to all that I've commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. So what condition did God put upon Solomon for his throne to be established forever? That he'd walk in integrity of heart. That he would just be real. And stick to the truth without fail. Did he do it? Nope, he didn't do it. No man makes his own rules or defines integrity according to his opinion or his own terms. It means one thing and it doesn't mean anything else. There's no variations in it. If you can't tell the truth 100% of the time, you don't have integrity.
That's right.
You're not sound in your heart. There's some rot in there.
Yep.
There's some selfishness still there. You still leave that little bit so that you can do what you need to do, get what you want. Integrity is defined by the law of God. That's the standard for understanding and identifying true integrity. And everybody knows that's true.
Yeah.
How do you know what's right and wrong? Outside of God and His moral law. How do you know what's right and wrong? Ain't no such a thing. You're living in a world where right is wrong and wrong is right. Where good is evil and evil is good. And if you don't realize that yet, I don't know about you. I don't know what to do for you either. Because you can see it everywhere. I read it the other day in some news article and some worldly, secular person said that. They said the world's turned around backwards. They said evil is what used to be evil is now good. And what used to be good is now evil. They've swapped sides and turned everything upside down. This is a worldly, secular, ungodly person saying it. So I shouldn't have to give you examples and prove to you in the church house that the world's upside down and they've turned everything upside down and backwards. Judgment's fallen, truth's fallen in the street, and judgment's turned around backwards. So integrity is part of godliness. And a godly person will have and maintain his integrity. Just like the verse we read, a just man walketh in his integrity. That's how it is. That ain't a suggestion. That ain't sometimes how it is. That's how it is. When you're saved and you belong to Christ, you are careful about what you say to make sure that it's right. What do you think that means when James is talking about if a man can't rule his own tongue? I mean, if he can't get any reins on his tongue, his religion is what? Vain. Worthless. Well, what does this mean, reining in your tongue? Well, we think it means cussing. No, it means more than cussing. What about lying? What about just twisting the truth? I mean, if you can't control your tongue so you can tell the absolute truth. If you're going to have integrity, it needs to be taught to you very little. I've said it over and over. You guys raising these little kids, man, the worst punishment that I would give my kids would be for lying. I mean, if you don't burn that out of them deep down when they're little, they won't have integrity ever in their life. They've got to learn that that is the utmost, most horrible sin that you can commit, is lying. Now you tell me the truth and you tell me just how it is. And you want to train them to do that. And you want to encourage them to do that. You don't want to say, now tell me the truth. And when they tell you the truth, beat the living daylights out of them. I mean, they need to understand that it's always right. It's always best to tell the truth. You lie to me, man, you're going to wish you was dead. Really? You say, that's mean. No, you hate your child if you will let him lie and get away with it. If you'll let him twist the truth and blame somebody else and shove off their guilt on somebody else. If you'll let him do that, you don't love them. And you're not looking into the future at all. It's got to be drilled in them when they're little that I just can't lie. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That ought to be enough. God hates, seven things God hates, a lying tongue. He hates it. The devil is a liar and the father of it. You got everything on your side to teach little children. No, lying is of the devil. Don't you lie. Don't let him talk you into lying. You better think and tell me the truth. He'll be real with everyone and not a pretender. Real integrity. He'll be real. Won't pretend. People will have to, you know, people will be able to know what he is and have confidence in him. Oh my. How many people you got confidence in? How many people do you have confidence in that you think are really, really careful about telling it like it is, the truth, about something that happened, about somebody else and what they did? Mm-hmm. Has God ever worked on you for repeating gossip or repeating a story that somebody else told? Or just jumping on the bandwagon and believing something that somebody told you that they heard from somebody else and about that person? Then you find out it wasn't like that at all, and then you're ashamed of yourself. You know, I've got to where I just don't believe anything. I mean, I hear it, and I register it, but I just withhold judgment on purpose. Because I know how people are. Everybody. Anymore. Everybody will just not tell the absolute truth. They twist it. They add a little. Somehow. They'll embellish it to make it more exciting. And everybody loves that gossip. Talking about somebody else. He'll be real. People will be able to know him and have confidence in him. This makes life a lot better for him. And it makes life a lot better for everybody else around him. Anybody that's got integrity. I mean, it was the only hope for these guys that came up to help Job out. That he maintained his integrity was the only thing that saved them in the end. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
Yeah.
Somebody that has integrity and maintains it, they're a blessing to everybody else. It's an asset to the church. It's an asset to a family. It's an asset to anybody that their life touches to know somebody that's real. Mm-hmm. And it tells the truth. All right, and then last thing here. Integrity better be what our character is based upon.
Yes, sir.
Or our life is going to be difficult, it's going to be disappointing, and it's going to be destructive. Lying ain't no good. Lying is a preceding thing to murder. I mean, the devil is a murderer, he's a liar, and they both go together. Why would you lie if it wasn't to hurt somebody by exalting yourself a little or both? I mean, that's why you would lie.
That's right.
Only reason. People come up with all these phony things of, well, it's okay to lie to the devil, like you said this morning. I don't remember where I seen that here a while back, but it was some preacher, I think. Who? Yep. And I don't think it's all right. I don't think it's all right to lie to the devil or anybody else. Ever. Yeah. I don't think it's all right to lie to keep from hurting somebody's feelings. Figure out some other way to do it. Yeah. I mean, if she makes something and says, do you like it? Huh? Well, yeah, I'll tell her the truth. Well, I'll eat whatever she fixes. I mean, no matter what.
But
I'll say, well, I really don't care for that, or I'd really rather have something else. But I appreciate you making it and, you know, taking a shot at it, but well, now you think that's better, or you think I ought to say, oh, I love it. Can't wait till you make it again. You know, that's what Brother Pete said in that thing the other day. He said Jack wasn't as smart as him. He said he told this woman one time that she made a rhubarb pie, and he told her that, oh, that thing was good. Yes, sir. And he hated rhubarb. Well, since he liked it, so well, she made him one every week from then on. So every week he had to gag it down because, well, tell the truth. Don't be trying to win friends and then, you know, influence people. Just tell the truth. People will like you much more for that than they will for lying to them and trying to be a phony and a chameleon. And, you know, you can tell people the truth without hurting their feelings. I mean, you can tell it without being cruel to them and all of that. People can take it. I mean, even women can take it. If they make something and you don't like it, they can take it if you don't like it. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It sure is.
It is.
It's true. Yes. That's right. So important. It's one of these things about being a Christian that is lacking so much in our day because the underlying doctrines and teachings don't even include it as anything. You're a new creature. Old things passed away. That lying tongue is gone. Let him that stole steal no more. Everything's different. Be real. How are they going to believe our witness about God if they can't believe our witness about just common everyday things? If they know we'll hedge the truth and fudge on things to keep them hurting somebody's feelings or any other reason, and then we tell them about what God's done for us, how are they going to believe it? They won't. They won't. That's right. All right. Have integrity. Maintain your integrity. Mm-hmm. No matter what. Mm-hmm. So important. Somebody like Wyatt back there, his life in front of him, going to be a man. You better have integrity, Wyatt.
Amen.
Better tell it like it is. To be truthful. You know, the Bible talks about he that sweareth to his own hurt, but he keeps his vow. I mean, you pay it anyway. Even if you stuck your mouth got ahead of your brain and you said something that later you thought, oh, no, I could have done better than that. No, don't back up now.
That's right.
You said you would buy it. You said you would pay it. Do it.
Yes, sir.
Ain't no telling what she's thinking. Oh. Well, it's kind of false advertising.
That's right.
She's seen this guy making clocks, and it's this big, pretty clock. And she said, I'm going to buy one of them. And he needed help and everything. It's $75. And when it come, the clock was about this big around. It's this little old bitty thing. It's kind of like Elizabeth's doll she ordered from China here the other day, you know.
So.
That's the way that turned out.
It's kind of like nowadays when people kill a deer or catch a fish and they hold it out in front of them and take the picture.
Yes.
It looks so much bigger than it really is.
Well, we could go all the way down that line too. What about all these selfies and stuff with the filters and, you know, that's no integrity.
Yeah.
No, no.
I had an old man tell me once when I was young, he said, don't ever lie to people. He said, if a man will lie to you, he'll steal from you.
Yep.
And if a man will steal from you, he'll do anything.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the truth, too. Better believe it.
Yeah. Well, Dad says it all the time, you know, he said before, if you'll lie, you'll steal. And if you'll steal, you'll do anything.
Yeah, that's right.
And it really is true because, you know, like Dad mentioned, we were in Rural King yesterday, and this lady, you know, stole something. They called her back in. You know, she knew, everybody knew what was going on. And, you know, it was a dog collar. That's what it was. And she's willing to go to jail over something like that. Ran off in the parking lot. They were looking for her and everything else. But she'll steal. And by looking at her, you can tell. Everything else in her life, you know, that's going on. And it's so sad.
Didn't start out there.
Yeah. No. No, it didn't.
No. It didn't end there either.
A big part of integrity is just the plain old law, the way Jesus narrowed it down. Love God first with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So, to have integrity, that's the rule you got to live by.
Mm-hmm. Well, and set that example. You know, I grew up
in a home, and I was a lying kid, and it really was detrimental to me in my life. I mean, it is the thing that I've had to overcome. One of the biggest things that I've had to overcome was that. It's not a fun thing to say. I mean,
well, it's a habitual thing
in
here.
It's a lot easier to say, well, you know, I overcame smoking. No one wants to say they're overcoming lying. It's so terrible. But it started with my mom and the things she would do around us that we knew good and well. She was lying. Yeah. And it was things that were supposed to be for our benefit or dad being in the dark about, and it
right.
was detrimental.
Yeah, a mother that would say to her kids, don't tell dad.
Yeah.
Don't let
yeah.
dad find out. You're not going to have kids with integrity.
In my past.
Same way the other way around, too.
Before I was saved, that was something that I did without even, like, no thought. It was just, that's how you, if it was something, you just handled it that way. And honestly, I mean, you ask him, I still, it'll be something over something silly. And it'll take all I have sometimes, and I'll just be like, I have to tell you. And anytime I tell him that, he's always like, oh, brace yourself for what she's about to say. But I'll just say to him, I didn't tell that right. I shouldn't have, and I have to go back and make it right because that's the old Kim supposed
well,
to be.
Well, besides that, you're subjecting yourself to be blackmailed by the kids.
Well,
too.
And it's a lifetime of right. trying to do that. I mean, I look around and you have some in our own family that are habitual liars. Like, that's what they do. And I don't know that they'll ever overcome it because it will take a lifetime of, I'm still tempted with it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm still tempted with it to just not say that thing. But that's why sometimes you'll see me be so out with what I'm trying to say is because I don't want to be that way anymore.
It's an open book all
and it's
the time.
Hard.
That's right.
It's very hard.
That's right, Anna.
It's better
yeah.
to be that way than to go around with the burden of that all the time, especially when that was your old self.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes almost to a fault, I'll be more open about things in my own heart than what I even should be, but just because I don't want to be perceived as a liar, or that it's I'm trying to convince myself or faking how I feel about these things. And
yep.
It's easier.
Well, it's just a big one for parents to deal with for more reasons than just that they'll shame you one day.
Yep, you better believe
it. Destroy their life.
It's their soul is at stake.
That's the devil. That's what you need to always remember. The devil, that's what he wants.
Yes.
Just like these reprobates that torment our life. They don't care about me. They want them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they always come for. They come for my kids.
Yep.
And if I'm on guard, that's what I've got to be watching for. Well, the devil's the same way.
Yep.
And if you are prone to be a liar, he has, it's like the most fertile ground that he can do everything he wants to.
Yep.
And
he wants to weaponize you against other people.
And it's not hard to do if you're a liar.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
You'll get to where you believe you can lie to God.
Yeah, that's true.
And then that's your reality.
People do lie to God.
Yeah.
They think they are anyway.
Well, they're consumed in their own deceit.
Yep. That's what the verse this morning said. Exhort one another daily.
Yes.
Lest ye be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Yes.
Man, that's right there. It's all a lie. Sin is always a lie. Starts with a lie. The whole thing's a lie.
Yep.
That's the power of a lie.
Yep.
It destroys the soul. And life, and homes, and churches, and everything.
Yep.
Destroying our country right now. Lies.
Yes.
Everybody hates liars. Mm-hmm. Looks like there wouldn't be so many of them, don't it?
Yep.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the truth that we've looked at tonight. Please bless our minds and hearts to receive it, Lord, to have integrity in our heart, mind. Lord, help us to be some of those few people on this earth that do walk in the truth and speak the truth and completely without guile and without any deceit. Lord, help us. Lord, the devil's tricky with this. He's good at what he does in trying to trick us into doing this and talk us into doing it. Please help us to resist him. Pray for these children and young people that they would learn early on to form a habit of telling the truth and being absolutely, thoroughly truthful in what they say to everybody, and not form habits of the going the other way that are nearly impossible to ever break. And Lord, help them, I pray. Please go with us now. Bless the days ahead. Keep us through these holidays and the things that lie ahead of us here. Pray you would work in our lives and help us each one in Jesus' name. Amen.